This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. It doesn't matter where you're going, it doesn't matter when you're going, it doesn't matter who's going, but what it does matter is saving the time, the effort, the stress, and money when you plan your vacations. This is why we want you to go visit the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Let them show you how a real professional vacation planner does his or her job. So visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Hi, this is Michael Wardian, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 149 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, February is almost over, and hopefully, maybe also winter may be saying goodbye, we hope, right?
Yes, one of us on this call, I think, ran outside today. I'm very envious, but on my deck, I think I posted last week on Facebook, I'm not kidding, I have 2.5 feet of snow on top of my table. So on my, it's going to be a long time before I'm having any wonderful meals out on my deck, because there's just snow everywhere. It's comical now. It's getting to the point where it's comical, but I have a long run inside again tomorrow. Blah. Can't
wait. No cookout tonight.
No cookout, but I need some outside Boston training. Wish I wasn't such a wuss about the cold, but
we have a shout out.
We do. It's to a listener whose name is Jennifer Marie, and she feels my pain because she did 10 miles training on the treadmill. So I don't do the treadmill. I do the inside track, but still, I'm so ready to run outside. Can't wait. Daydreaming about it.
Can't wait. So we always talk about training. We're always talking about going to whatever lengths we need to go to train for that very next race, be it a Run Disney race or whatever. And people are always filled with questions about training. And one of the things that we've learned over the last several years is that there's something out there called e-coaching. And we thought that it would be a good time to talk about it. But we also wanted to make sure that if we were going to talk about that, we would bring in the best possible person to talk about that. So we looked high and wide. Actually, we didn't. We knew who to ask, and he was very gracious with his time to come on. And he is the official training consultant for Run Disney. He's a former Olympian. He has written many, many books on running. He is the creator of the famous Run, Walk, Run Galloway method. We all love him. Jeff Galloway. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on board.
Well, Mike and Michelle, it is great to be with you again. I enjoy seeing you at our Disney events and running with you sometimes, but I really love your show.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice of you.
And we love you, Jeff.
And that's just the end of the show.
I remember seeing you. I think I saw you at just before you hit the walkway to Boardwalk on the Sunday for the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. You were doing the marathon. You were finishing the last 2.5 miles of the Dopey. And, man, you looked fresh as a daisy.
I'll tell you, I recovered faster from that Dopey than I have usually recovered from a standalone marathon. And I owe it to reducing my run, walk, run down to 15:15. And it just really has worked.
Well, that is actually the reason that I thought it would be great to have you come on, because I know I emailed you and I followed your directions when I did e-coaching to a T, and I felt absolutely fantastic. I know I mentioned this in the email. I walked around 10 more miles that day, and the proof was in the pudding. I was really curious to see after 4 days how I would feel on that fifth day. Jeff, I felt so good. I've run half marathons where the next day I can't even go downstairs. My legs hurt so much. I felt wonderful. So e-coaching worked for me, and I really think that it'd be great for us to talk about it, to let everybody know what's involved and what you do. Sound good?
It sure does. I'm ready.
Okay, so I guess the first question is, can you just tell us what e-coaching is? How would you define it?
Well, there are a number of different coaches and coaching programs. In my Jeff Galloway program, it's very individual relationship that I have with each athlete that signs on board. Concept is that I will set up a program based on that person's current ability level and what they've been doing, running wise and so forth, towards their goals. Now, that said, I also will give some editorial comments about goals that may or may not be realistic, and the individual can still choose what that person wants to do. But each week I give a check-in format, and I want the athlete to check in with me. It's a very simple format, just says what was assigned and then what was actually done. And that way I can take care of any problems that come up along the way before they get to be big problems. And also, a lot of people tell me, and you'll have to verify this in your own experience, Michelle, but a lot of folks say that because they have to check in every week, they ended up getting in a lot more of their runs than they would have otherwise.
Well, it's very true. So the check-in format is email. And I know that I'm, you know, former elementary school teacher. I like to follow directions. And I also didn't want to let you down because I knew it would be letting me down. So it was very clear. I know that when I told you what my goal was, which is just to finish Dopey comfortably, that you gave me a list of runs that I had to do, or that you recommended that I do. I followed it, you know, very, very carefully. And then every week you also asked if there were any things that bothered me. And when I was, you know, I had a few little issues with my Achilles was bothering me, you gave tips about how I should handle that. So the e-coaching aspect of it is primarily done through email for your program.
Yes, it does. And occasionally, an individual will come up with a problem that I can't figure out based on their description, so I'll get on the phone with them. But most of the time, email really works. It's efficient for myself. It's also efficient for the athlete. And it's really fun. I really have met so many really good friends over the years through this program.
And I want to say, too, Jeff, one of the things I appreciated was the immediate feedback. It was the most I ever had to wait after I checked in with you. It was at the very most 24 hours. And I know you were out and about traveling. Sometimes within an hour, you were writing back to me. So I really appreciated that because I could tweak things if I needed to during that week. So it was really important.
Well, it is important. And a lot of problems that runners have, if they try to run through them without getting advice, the problems often get worse. I've really had great success in nipping a lot of these things in the bud by folks checking in midweek.
Jeff, would you say that a major component of how successful e-coaching can be is based on you working with each individual to make sure that that individual has a realistic goal or goals, and that they're not unrealistic, they're not too far over what that person presently has as far as conditioning and level of training?
You were so right, Mike. And over the years, the 42 years now that I have been coaching, I have discovered through research and also my own practice how much the average person, average runner, is going to improve. And someone who has been running for a number of years and has put in a good bit of quality work usually improves around 3%. Those who have not done a lot of quality work, when they add some of my suggestions to what they're doing, find that they improve an average of 5%. So I work off the numbers based on large numbers of people, and I can give a realistic assessment. But the other really interesting thing we use is a reality check called the Magic Mile. And the Magic Mile has very accurately predicted what a person is going to end up doing that season if they do all the work. And so one of the requirements that I have in my program is to do regular Magic Miles. So we not only have a realistic assessment at the beginning of the program as to how much someone can improve, but throughout the season, we're going to look at the Magic Mile to see what the person is doing.
So, Jeff, my goal was just to do this thing called the Dopey, and I'd already done a marathon before. So mine was just finishing and feeling great. What are some other goals that people ask you to help them with when they're doing e-coaching? I imagine probably improving their time is one of them.
About 15% of the folks that I work with are just interested in staying regular with exercise, being motivated to get out the door. And they find that because they have to report in to me, they tend to get out the door more often or on the treadmill. And the other aspect there is they will have questions. A lot of the questions I get from beginners are questions that they've been told by other runners or doctors or whatever that, oh, you can't do this and so forth and so on. And unfortunately, there's really a lot of bad advice out there. So I'm able to cut through that right away and tell them what is a real concern and what isn't. And as a result, a lot of folks have found that they don't get bogged down in a lot of the conflicting ideas that are out there. I'm going to tell them what I found works best based on the feedback now of more than 300,000 runners who've gotten back to me after I've given them advice. The other major aspect of the coaching program at the other end of the spectrum from beginning are those that want to qualify for Boston and set a personal record and so forth and have very serious goals. Those amount to about 20% of the folks that I work with. The other little over half are usually oriented towards finishing a race. It might be a half marathon, a marathon. I've worked with a number of people that have wanted to step up to ultra marathons and in some cases 6-day races and things like that. But most of the folks that I work with are in that middle bracket of just wanting to get across that finish line in a given race.
That's really interesting. So I know that you know that in the past year and a half or so, Run Disney has really been promoting these, you know, double, triple, quadruple day races. And I'm wondering if that has changed your coaching or that has changed the things that people are coming to you and asking you to help with, because this is kind of a new thing for Run Disney. I don't know the rest of the racing world, but you know, to do a 10K and a half the next day or 10K half and full. Has that changed the way that you're coaching or some of the strategies that you need to use?
It's been fascinating to me to see what type of people are attracted and then sign up for these multi-event weekends at Disney. And at first, and actually to this day, the type of person is not the type that has been a long-term runner and has run a lot of fast races and has done a lot of speed work. More of the folks that I talk with who have entered this are those who just started running about 2 or 3 years ago, or in some cases less. I had several e-coach clients during the last year who wanted to do either the Goofy or the Dopey, and they had started running within 9 or 10 months before the race itself. And every one of them made it through, and none of them had any trouble. So the other major area with these multiple event situations is that the individuals are often told by friends or family members that there's no way they should be doing that. And I am going to be honest with them if I think there is some real concern. So I ask them something about their medical history and their injury history and all this sort of stuff. And there are a few people that I have said, you know, I really can't work with you on this because I really don't think it's a smart thing for you to do. But they have been very few and far between. Most of the folks that have come to me, even the ones that are totally out of shape, there was no red flag. And by going very gently into all of the preparation and then taking it really easy in the first part of their races, they've been able to pass with flying colors. It's just a wonderful thing to see this happen.
You know, Jeff, listening to you discuss that, it makes me want to ask you this question. There will be people out there listening to this podcast right now, and there will be maybe novice runners or people who are thinking about getting into running and are thinking, you know, maybe this e-coaching is something that will work for me. When someone decides to sign up for e-coaching, my guess is that they need to commit to you certain things. Can you go over what they need to commit to you in order for you to say to them, this will have the best chance of success if I do my part and you do your part? What do your clients have to agree to do?
Well, the hard and fast commitments that I make, that I want my e-coach clients to make, are, first of all, it's a 6-month term. Now, in some cases, the race occurs less than 6 months, and that's fine. But I am signing on with them for 6 months, and if the race occurs sooner, I'm pleased and usually do follow up afterwards and work with them in the recovery and then whatever it is they want to do for the next step. The second commitment is I absolutely want the person to be injury free and to follow the advice that I give, which almost eliminates the chance of injury. And then thirdly, if someone steps over the line, I'm not going to be bashful. I'm going to explain why they had the problem they did, and that if they really want me to help them, they are going to have to listen to the advice.
So you have to definitely be a rule follower, I think. Not a rule follower, but what you wrote to me was very specific. On this day you should do this, on this day you should do this. And so if you find that people are not checking in with you, or, you know, you haven't heard from somebody in 3 weeks, would you maybe check in and say, hey, how's everything going? Or how would you handle that?
Well, I have several different personality profiles at any given time. And what I have discovered over the 25 years that I've been doing individual coaching programs like this is that when a person doesn't check in, there usually is a reason for that, and they usually catch up with me. In other words, I don't usually go and chase the person down unless we have had an arrangement to that effect. I have found that when a person doesn't check in, they either are staying with the program or they have had some interruptions, and really it doesn't have any, I can't really do anything about that. They've had usually a family situation or a career situation or whatever. But what I can do is get involved at any problem that comes up that's running related. And I'm going to jump in there with all of the advice that I have learned over the years. And almost every single e-coach client that I've had tends to follow that advice whether they've had problems or not. And when a person has made mistakes, it's usually the result of having heard from a lot of friends that say, well, you can do the Galloway program for long runs, but you need to do my program for your speed work or whatever. And when you start combining and cherry picking various elements from various programs you don't have a consistent path to go on, and there are all types of problems that come up there. And finally, Michelle, you talked about the fact that I meticulously go through what should be done on these given days. But I have to tell you, everyone, that my program that I offer is a minimal program. It's only 3 days a week. Now, if you want to run more than that, I don't have any problem with doing more than that. But I do want you to do the items that are on each day of that 3 day week, because it's a minimal program, each day is important. And so it has a very functional aspect. And when people follow the program, there's just a huge amount of motivation and then success.
Great. Thank you. So the next question I have, Jeff, is that on the Run Disney site, you have fantastic plans for people doing all the different races, and your plans are very general. I know for me, one of the things I liked about e-coaching was the personal nature of it. So when I told you what my goals were, and I also told you the races that I was doing. I was doing local races here. I was doing some Run Disney events. You actually worked with me to kind of integrate that into my training program, which is great. So do you think one of the biggest benefits of e-coaching is the personal touch? Why would you recommend that somebody do that versus follow something on the Run Disney site? I think, you know, both are great options. Just curious what you think.
Well, you've nailed it pretty well about the programs that are on the Run Disney site. They work very, very well for about 80 to 85% of the folks who are training for those events. The other percentage can really benefit so much more from an individualized approach, because people have had a history of injuries or a history of other interruptions in their life. I have an e-coach client right now, for example, that has severe lung issues, but he's still out there doing long walks mostly, and he's kept his endurance up, and his brain circuits are working. So I'm going to work with someone based on their individual needs. And the other issue with generic programs versus individual is that even on a very well put together generic program, there are interruptions in training. There are aches and pains that come up, and you're trying to figure out, is this something I need to worry about or not? And I'm going to tell you, based on my experience, whether it is or not, and then what you can do about it.
So the nice thing for me, too, was that I because this was a big thing for me to do this, you know, half and a full the next day, it was a huge amount of peace of mind just to be able to go to you and say, I have this question. And, you know, you knew what I was doing, and it was just great peace of mind to have somebody to ask that about. Mike, did you have another question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, Jeff, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of minutes. I don't know if you have this data right off the top of your head, Jeff, but my guess is that there are people who come to you who want to go from couch to 5K, from 5K to 10K, from 10K to half, from half to full, and even from full to ultra. I was going to ask you, do you know off the top of your head which of these step-ups are asked of you by your clients? You know, of those, what do you ask to help clients with mostly?
Well, the greatest stress that people feel is when they are going up a big chunk of distance, multiples of distance. For example, their longest has been around a 5K, but they really want to do a half marathon. That's a huge jump. The marathon is just a huge jump for anyone. I mean, most of the people that I deal with have not run any more, any longer than a half marathon when they come into my marathon training. And so they have had, almost every one of them has had some bad experiences on long runs. And they say, well, you know, I hurt really bad on 13 miles. How in the heck can I go 26? Well, I can tell them, because it almost always is based on not having the right run-walk-run ratio or not pacing correctly. And most folks, and this is true with most training programs, don't really have guidelines to tell them what is realistic. And I'm not bashful. I'm going to explain what's realistic. I'm going to slow down the pace on long runs so that the injury risk is reduced down to practically nothing. And I'm going to pump people up when they get down on themselves.
Yeah, it was great to have a cheerleader. And I know that when I started working with you, you did have me slow down. And it was very, very – I think I kept on saying, well, I'm doing this. And you kept on saying, okay, slow down. And it was fantastic during the race sequence of the Dopey because I did listen to you and you were right.
I've had a few experiences there. And you're so right, Michelle. You and I went back and forth about this, but – now you know, and you were tremendous. I am so impressed with not just that you went through the Dopey, which puts you in the upper 0.01% of the population in endurance being able to do that, but that you walked around for so long afterwards and had such a great experience. Let's face it, you went to Disney World. Why do you not want to enjoy it?
Yeah, so it was great. Well, you can't see me right now, but I'm blushing. You made it very, very easy.
For those of you who are listening and are interested in learning more about e-coaching with Jeff, I would recommend you go to his website. It's www.jeffgalloway.com. It's a very dynamic website. You can learn so much. You can do so much. You can find out so much. And if you go at the top of the page and you go to the training drop-down menu, about three down is e-coaching by Jeff. You click on that and you learn more and more about what Jeff has to offer. Beginners, all kinds of half marathon training, everything you need to know, everything that Jeff's been talking about. It goes into even more detail on his site. You can learn all about it. And Michelle is a fine example of the success rate. There's nobody better that can prepare you for whatever goals you have. And Jeff, we want to thank you for coming on again.
Well, Mike and Michelle, I love working with y'all, and I am always open for any general questions, too. So you can go to the website and ask questions away. And I look forward to seeing so many of you out there at the Disney events and on the roads.
And we'll have that link in our show notes as well if people want a link. And I just have to say, Jeff, that I would not have the confidence to be doing Boston if I hadn't worked with you. So I hope I get to see you at some point. I know I won't be in the same corral as you, but maybe I'll see you at the expo or see you on the streets of Boston. But I want to thank you so much because you really did give me a huge amount of confidence. And I always felt like you were right there with me, and I couldn't wait at the end of every week to report how I had done, and I couldn't wait to tell you when I completed the Dopey. So thank you so much.
Well, I am there with you, and this is one of the great gratifications I have about eCoach class, because I continue to see them months and years after having worked with them, and I look forward to continuing this relationship.
And we want to continue this relationship too, Jeff. So at the end of every podcast, when we have you on and you've been very gracious with your time, the question will always be, will you be willing to come on again and maybe answer some questions that have been piling in on the Mickey Miles website?
I would love to. Let me also interject that at Boston, for those of you who are going to be at the expo, I will be at the Run Disney booth there. So feel free to come by.
Oh, I will.
Oh, cool.
Right.
Can't wait.
So for Jeff Galloway and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa. We will see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by the Vacation Planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. They know how to cross those T's, dot those I's. They know all the secrets. They know all the shortcuts. They know how to take the worry out of any vacation planning. It doesn't matter where you're going. Be it a Disney destination or any destination, they can do the job for you. So give them a shot. Give them a chance. Give them a call. Go to mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.